So the government has just struck a deal with the coalition to skewer the minor parties and independent candidates in parliament, starve them of funding, these political interlopers daring to encroach on our beautiful, pristine two-party system, our duopoly. That's the design of it. Here is the actual detail via Rex Patrick on a tweet. Australian Labor and Liberal Australia have joined forces to vote down the referral of the newly introduced Electoral Reform Amendment Bill 2024 to the Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters for inquiry. Now, usually these bills go to a parliamentary inquiry for debate. There's public debate about them. But this thing was introduced, Parliament got notice of it on Friday. Insiders touched about it on the weekend. And now, of course, on Monday, we've got this very disturbing situation. Independents got up and spoke today, but there will be no inquiry. Helen Haynes was very good. Helen Haynes basically said, the independent, she said, can't flip a candidate from an incumbent under these new laws. There's four pages or so of exclusions, ways for the major parties to get around the new things, loopholes. Pages of exclusion, said Helen, for what is deemed a gift. Now, we can get on now, Labor and Liberal, once they've done this, they can get on with their agenda of staying in power, because that's what it's all about, isn't it, with the support of their corporate and union money. And don't you worry about climate, don't you worry about genocide, tax cuts for the rich, rising inequality, which is a significant problem in Australia, homelessness. Don't you worry about negative gearing and those other property sector rorts. They're on the same page on that one. Don't you worry about DIY super subsidies for boomers over millennials. Don't you worry about those poor people. Don't you worry about new fossil fuel approvals, coal approvals, gas project approvals. Don't you worry about that $368 billion AUKUS deal, those payments. Humongous payments to the US and the UK, because both the major parties agree with all this, for no guarantee of nuclear submarines, world's worst deal ever. Don't you worry that they both agree that we can bury US and UK nuclear submarine waste in Australia. Don't worry, no inquiry about that, no talk about that. Don't you worry about our friend Israel. Don't you worry about the under 16 social media ban. Don't you worry about the crushing of peaceful protests by university students. Don't you worry about taking hundreds of millions fossil fuel companies and top it up for subsidies for fossil fuel companies as well. Don't you worry about the media duopoly to keep Rupert going so they can bury stories like this one. Because the media duopoly will broadly support this, or they might have a little bit of a whinge, but they're going to support it. There's not going to be much of an outcry, except here in independent media land where we don't have all these agendas. So here they are under this new proposal, under these laws, gifting themselves another $83 million of our money and pretending that a few tweaks to political donations laws will curb the rise of corporatocracy in Australia. It's all wrapped up, pretty little bow, nice packaging with integrity reforms. That's just the PR. And they're not all bad. We should specify that. But they're definitely not all good. The Special Minister of State, Don Farrell, said that the reforms would, quote, tackle big money in our electoral system and protect our democracy. No, they won't. They won't stop the $10,000 a head business forum lunches and dinners or the corporate donations. The cap has been lifted, in fact, although there is some more closer to real-time disclosure and so on. They are designed, these laws, to starve the minor parties and independents of funding. It is a fix. It's also designed to shut out good old Clivey Palmer and people like that, billionaires using their money to interpose in the political process. And we get to the details shortly and we'll put something on the website. Some of the stuff is on the right track, but suffice to say, there is a common misconception around this political bribery regime in which we live, and that is that there is a direct quid pro quo between the payments, the political payments to the parties, and political action or response. It doesn't work that way. They are tightening disclosure, tweaking it a little bit. They're making it closer to real time, because sometimes there's a lag of more than a year before you see an actual donation disclosed, because they're only disclosed once a year around the end of January. Lowering the threshold from 16,000 to 1,000 to report your donation, that's a good thing. Not going to stop the donations, though. Capping it to shut out billionaires like Clive Palmer, who might disrupt their cozy duopoly with the big bucks, that may be a good thing. To this misconception, if you are a corporation peddling influence, you don't just rock up to Canberra and say, we'll give you $400,000 if you approve this coal mine or this gas project. This is a pay-to-play system where you just make your annual donations, you make your annual payments. It's like insurance. Once a year, faithfully to the bagman and the Lib Lab coalition in each of the parties, and you become a player in the system. You pay to play. It's protection money. So when, say, with PwC, you get busted defrauding every man, woman, and child in the country, you point to your track record of participating in democracy by buying it. Now, we broke the story a couple of years ago. Stephanie Tran broke this one here about Australia's biggest companies hiding millions of dollars in donations to the major political parties by buying platinum, gold, and silver corporate memberships, like a football club or something. And it all flies under the radar because none of the money is officially disclosed as political donations. They're memberships. Company doesn't have to disclose the membership contributions, while the political parties declare their memberships vaguely as other receipts. Quote, other receipts. The platinum membership costs, Stephanie found, a cool $110,000. Gold costs $55,000 and silver $25,000. Incredibly, both the Liberal Party's Australian Business Network and the Labor Party's Federal Labor Business Forum charge identical fees for their membership. I mean, the ACCC should have a look at the anti-competitive nature of this. Each of these membership tiers, they're replicated by the Lib Lab Coalition. PricewaterhouseCoopers, for instance, it's one of the biggest beneficiaries of government contracts in the country. You know, with the other big four, they share about $1 billion, or did, a year in consultancy fees from the federal government. $1 billion. With the big four peers, KPMG, EY, formerly Ernst & Young, and Deloitte, PwC is, well, it's got the platinum membership of both parties. No wonder they got off the hook so easily. So the way it actually works is that the bagman gets around, like the mafia collector guy back in New York in the 1940s, to all the shop fronts, takes his payments from all the different large corporations, and goes to the next shop. It's pay to play. Just to be in the game, you make your payment. You know, you wipe your brow, make your payment. This is the expectation. You're not saying, we need this law change now. You won't be kneecapped if you don't pay. But this is the expectation. This is the system, which we never see because it's behind the scenes, because it's grubby, it's dirty, filthy. It subverts democracy. We only get our say once every 3 years when we trudge down to the, you know, the booths to make our vote. These guys have a say all the time because they can get on the phone because they pay all this money. So they're not buying something with a return when they part with that money, their annual donation. They're saving themselves getting kneecapped 2 years down the track. If you don't pay, don't complain about the new laws which we're going to bring in. Now, people, ordinary people, of course, poor people, for instance, or ACOS or whatever, they don't pay to play. We really are the peasants. Now, the current system is shot, and we agree that more timely disclosure, the Labor Party proposal, the government proposal, is in order. It's not all bad. And that, yes, the public should fund the system, not corporations. But why not excise the graft altogether? Rather than helping yourself to more money than you had before while kneecapping the likes of, you know, Simon Holmes at court, etc., claiming that the, you know, people funding independence should have a more vigorous regime imposed upon them. In fact, Simon published this week this rather helpful chart which shows the problems. See, the problem is now a third of Australians don't vote for the major parties. Their votes have been declining for 50 years. And why? Because they have failed to act sufficiently in the interests of their voters. They've acted in the interests more of their corporate donors. The major parties' primary votes have been steadily dropping for 50 years. So it poses an existential threat for them unless they get their act together, these major parties. So instead, as Simon says, there's two ways that they can arrest this decline. One, be less shite, or two, cheat. It's a great shame. They're choosing the latter. So why not ban donations altogether, rather than keeping the back door open while slinging yourself some more public money? The fact is that donations were designed in the days when candidates needed to pay $30,000 to put an ad in the newspaper to get their message across. Now we have the internet, where good ideas will proliferate at no cost. And if they're good enough ideas, they will take hold. There is, of course, the transparency lurk in all of this, and this is a really important one, following the money. The major parties operate companies which have a carve-out from disclosure laws, unlike sort of ASX companies and so forth, normal corporations. So we don't know what the blazes is going on inside these companies, the Liberal Party company and the Labor Party company, whether the money's being transferred from one state to another or to the federal branch, how much they earn, who's giving them money and how it's being distributed, all the related party transactions with their associates stuff. It's the bagmen, the party treasurers, who run these companies. Now, if they were fair dinkum about reform, they would put some sunlight through all this so that everybody could see where the money's coming from, who's paying, and how it's being distributed. Problem is also the media duopoly, which also has a stake in all of this, and this is why we won't probably hear too much about it in the mainstream press, because the politicians are protecting their buddies in the media, and the media is to a point, although, you know, they're coalition biased, the mainstream, but they're protecting the two-party system as well. It's a big mates club down there. Hence the demonisation of the Teals, the Greens and independents. They won't want media reform either, just like AUKUS and all the other policies. It's just a subsidy program for mainstream media, nothing for independents. No level playing field. It's arcane media policy by the federal government as well. Now, we've seen what happened with integrity reforms, so-called integrity reforms in Victoria. They were similar to this sort of thing, not word for word, obviously, but the independents disappeared in Victorian Parliament. And precisely, it appears from the legislation, the current proposal at the federal level, that is the aim, to entrench the uni party, as some people call it. A couple of final points. It's not always about the money. Clive Palmer spent $116 million and got one candidate up for $116 million. So it's not all about money. It is important to say that they're doing some good with these changes as well. Better disclosure, faster disclosure. There's some caps. So that's good, but it will entrench the very system which has let us down, which is letting the country down. The unions and companies will still be able to buy the system. Now, one final point on branding. You know, a lot of people vote sort of on brand, and that's the brand comes across through the media. Obviously, the major parties got the strongest brand, so it's a huge advantage come election time when the media focuses on the two leaders in the lead up to an election out there, getting the bus around Australia with all the cameras on them day by day. And this is when a lot of votes are decided by a cabal of media players in a competition between two guys. That's basically what it is. It's a media duopoly propped up by the government, vice versa, same deal. Please like, share or comment in the section below. Throw us a few bucks on Patreon if you can afford it. And thank you for your support.